Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad. So glad you are listening again to information about product management, development, and innovation, and becoming a better innovator yourself. I have the great pleasure of talking with David Poulsen today. Give his introduction in just a moment. Just so you know, we had a few technical difficulties, and he's been running around looking at raising VC and super busy, but was able to get him on a telephone call. So if you hear a little difference in the audio quality, that's what's going on. But it still works really well. So David has had over 20 years of product development experience and still remembers his first day at work. That's when he found out how inefficient the product development process was. He's been working to fix that ever since. Him and his partners at Acura have developed a set of solutions that enable their customers to consistently cut the development times by half while delivering more successful products. Faster time to market with better products. Now, that's really something I'm anxious to hear more about. David, thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chad. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, so glad to be talking about this. And I know this falls under that umbrella of lean product development, and we'll get into that a little bit. But first, tell me how you got involved with, you know, developing new products in the first place.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I think the answer goes way back. I guess as long as I can remember, I've been trying to develop products, my own products, I guess. I've always wanted to invent something. I was always modifying my toys, trying to make them do other things and things like that. And then I guess the reason I got a mechanical engineering degree was because I thought that would put me at the center of the fun part of product development, you know, making new things. So yeah, as long as I can remember.
Very cool. So it goes back to childhood days. Did that mechanical engineering degree deliver on your expectation? Did it help you become a product developer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I talk about products, I mean physical things. I like software and cool software solutions, too. But I like physical products. So, yeah, it was the exact right thing for me to do.
Give us a sense of a fun project you got to be a part of right after your college days. What were you developing?
Yeah, well, my first job was at a company that did operational testing on new Army equipment. So If the Army bought any type of equipment, they wanted to test it and make sure it met their specs. And so if they wanted to see if the tank could drive 60 miles an hour in the sand and shoot while the turret was spinning around, we had to develop instrumentation that would gather the data to prove that. So looking back, it was the ideal dream job for someone like myself because I got to do, I guess, everything a mechanical engineer would do except high-volume production and plastics. So, and we got to, you know, blow things up and see things work and, you know, make all kinds of neat toys and equipment.
Well, yeah, let's not overlook the fact that you got to play with tanks. So, you know, yeah, that's just every man's dream come true, I think. Very cool. So let's talk about the topic that has really become a big part of your career, this thing called lean product development. I've heard lean in lots of different contexts, not really sure what it always means. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, great question. And no surprise, you're not always sure what it means, because I think if you asked a dozen people, you could easily get a dozen different answers. I guess when I put all the definitions together and see what boils to the top, I would say the first, the most common one is lean is a focus on value. And so they say, let's think about what's valuable to the customer. And just get them that. Get them what they value most. The neat thing is, if we do that, that happens to translate into value to our company, you know, bottom line profits. So that's the great thing. There's a good economic reason to do lean. I think the second most common definition is lean is a system for rapidly learning. So we have to quickly learn what does the customer value, but then how do we learn what we need to know to be able to build a product that will get them that. And product development is really a process of learning. We think the end product of product development is the physical product we sell, but it's not. We're actually developing knowledge so that we can build that product. So a lot of lean people are talking about, you know, rapid learning systems and things like that. Another, maybe a third definition is of lean is what's the, you know, benefit cost ratio or the ROI? How much effort do I have to do? How can I maximize the result with minimum effort? So all of those are kind of lean definitions.
Okay, so the focus there on value, maximizing the value to the customer and in turn the value to the organization. That rapid learning, we're obviously always learning as we're going through understanding the customer's problem and how to really deliver value to them in a solution. And then you talk about that the ROI, the improvement that we can make in the ROI and that cost-benefit analysis. And I would think a big part of that is eliminating waste from the process and trying to get to market faster.
Yep.
Okay, so that's part of that ROI.
Yep.
Okay. And that leads me to ask then about other benefits too. So we should probably highlight that one. What are the benefits that you have experienced companies find using lean product development?
Well, I guess going back to that first definition, they have happier customers because the customers have something that met a need that wasn't satisfied before. So if you really do lean right, you're going to have happier customers. Of course, therefore, you know, bigger market share, more profits, whatever. To your company, the benefit of lean is you have a more effective environment for developing products, getting those done in time, and therefore, you know, more profit. But also, lean, if you do it right, and you read all the principles, it has to be a sustainable effort. And if you have a more effective environment where it's easier for the people to work, they're happier, they do a better job, and it's a big impact on your culture, I guess. It's a lot of, you know, economic and cultural benefits.
Okay. So the happy customers make a world of sense to me. A more effective environment. Drill into that a little bit more. So the companies are seeing culture change. They're seeing happier employees. What else is the effective environment part?
Well, I'm a good example. What happened to someone who wanted to grow up and be an engineer and invent stuff, and then they get to this company, and all of a sudden they find out it's not as much fun as they thought it would be. There's so many, you know, processes and procedures and systems and documentation and admin stuff that just bogs us down, and it's not fun to do. But lean, the more effective environment, can eliminate a lot of that, the hassle and admin and overhead stuff that we're doing. Management's putting these types of controls in for a good reason, they think, but it's very often not as effective as they thought it was going to be.
Okay. So I know lean from a manufacturing context talks about eliminating waste from the process. And so that sounds like we're eliminating waste in the processes and maybe the bureaucracy of the organization. So we're really focusing on delivering value to the customer. Does that fit?
Yeah. If you focus on that, you say, why are we doing this? Well, we need this for that reason because of 10 years ago this happened. It's like, well, do you think the customer cares about that? No. Yeah, there's so many examples here. We'd have to look at a specific case, you know, explain each one, I guess.
Sure. You know, agile development methodologies seem to be all the rage right now, and it's a topic that I frequently asked about too. Is there an intersection here? Because as I hear you describe lean, I keep thinking, you know, well, how would that look in an agile environment?
Yeah, so I think the two topics are very closely related. Agile said, hey, let's, you know, focus on the product and not the documentation and do iterations rather than plans, things like that. Well, they're eliminating waste and, you know, trying to get the right product to the customer more quickly. So they definitely have that in common as well as a lot of other things.
Okay. So back to that earlier experience you had of seeing what product development was like in an organization and really finding it not to be the satisfying experience that you had envisioned of just being focused on making the new products. You know, that happens a lot in organizations. What are the practices or those processes that make lean different from maybe what organizations are doing that haven't embraced a lean approach?
That's a good question. Most companies are following some type of waterfall or phase gate process. And they say, do a whole bunch of work. Let's wait before we decide to proceed until we have all our ducks in a row. We go through this checklist and say, okay, does this still meet the criteria to pass through this gate? And they finally have that meeting and they say yes. And then everybody rushes and does the next phase of work. That is creating a big batch, and batch is a lean term, of work that piles up and waits to go through the gate, so this work isn't getting done because the gate hasn't been approved or passed. And then when it does get passed, this whole waterfall or big batch of work goes to the next phase, and instantly those resources are all busy. Those people are all busy. Lean says, let's do things in smaller chunks. Let's just focus on this, answer that question, keep that piece of the project going, and you still check all those boxes that you would normally at that gate, but you don't do it in one big batch. You do it whenever that piece of work or that bit of information is available.
Okay. So in a phase gate approach, the gates really exist to manage risk and make sure we're moving on with this product concept because it makes sense for us to do so, right? There haven't been roadblocks that show up. So you're saying in the lean approach, you're still managing risk, still checking the boxes, but doing that as you continue through the process.
Yeah. In the phase gate, so they said, well, why waste time and money working on this next phase if everything's not going to pass? Well, the economic benefit to being market early is so great that the cost of doing work, have some people doing work that if the gate completely get passed and they said, oh, we have to cancel this project, people say, well, that was a waste of work or waste of material. That cost itself is so small, it doesn't compare at all to the benefit of being early. So the phase gate process, like you said, manage risk, make better quality products, but it added a lot of time to the project itself.
Okay, so I would think if I was a business leader listening to this a little bit, I might go, well, you know, those gates are really important to our organization. They're a way of us to decide if it's worth that next investment. We don't want people working on it if we're just going to kill the project anyhow. But you're saying the cost of doing so is small, insignificant compared to the reward of being able to get to market faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I know companies really struggle with this. How do you get products to market faster?
Yep.
Okay, very good. So maybe a specific example would help us get our hands around this more. So I know for the last several years, you've been helping companies indeed implement lean product development approaches. Do you have a specific example that you can detail for us of how that worked and what happened?
Yeah, so going back, it was 2008, and myself and the two partners, founding partners here, we had already worked together for about 10 years, and three of us had implemented solutions of all sorts of varieties, I guess, at least 60 different companies. And we always got a little benefit here and there, point solution, whatever, but the customers were still frustrated. We were still frustrated. We knew we could do better. We started studying lean and agile and theory of constraints and things like that in about 2003, some of it before it was even called lean. And so now it's 2008. And we said, you know, there's got to be a better way. Out of frustration, we said, what can we take the best of the best from all these methods and apply it to a, you know, one project from start to finish? And this is when we had our breakthrough. So there was a medical device company. And they have a very complicated, difficult product development process. They had fully integrated mechanical software, firmware, had injection molded plastic parts. Because it was a Class 3 medical device, they had an FDA-approved process they had to follow for quality and regulatory, whatever. And so their average product development cycle time had been 30 months, literally 2.5 years. At the time we engaged with them, they had a project that was already 2 years late. So they had to start another project, launch another product during this time, and they said, this one cannot be late. So we applied what we call our playbook now to this project, and they finished the entire thing in 12 months. Remember, their previous average was 30. They told us later that they exceeded their budget by 200 to 300%, and they finished this project 20% under budget. So they told us there was about $500,000 in hard cost savings on the project and netted around $3 million in additional profit by being to market early. So that was our first breakthrough, and we have many, many more since then.
Wow. So let me highlight some things that are in that example. So went from 30 months to 12, so over more than half, more than 50% less time, with a 20% under budget, so you were saving dollars, and getting to market faster allowed revenue to be collected sooner, resulting in high revenue coming in for the product.
Yep.
Wow. So that's a win-win-win.
Yes.
So the company's actually spending less money, getting customers satisfied more quickly, and if what you said before was true about how it impacts the culture, the employees were happier through this process too. Did you see any of that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. As soon as this team started seeing wins, like they went through their first couple milestones and gates on time, and other teams started noticing, and they started asking us, hey, can we apply this? And we said, well, no, you're kind of late in the project. Finish what you're doing. But Yeah, as we started talking and seeing it work, they did start, even late in the project, adopting some of the techniques, you know, to help finish the project they had been on. But yeah, it had a big morale impact to have that big win so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So going from 30 months to less than half, down to 12 months, the budget was still under at 20%, but it clearly wasn't half, right? So we are doing more work in less time. How did that impact the organization in terms of, you know, projects that they had planned? Did they prioritize this project to be able to commit more resources to that? Was there issues there?
No, they didn't have to commit any extra resources to it, and that's very typical. The only cost that sometimes goes up if you apply these methods might be material cost in buying prototypes and ordering parts. But when you compare that to getting done early, and overall project expenses still go down.
Yeah, and that whole prototyping environment has changed so rapidly. You know, I'm standing in my home office at the moment doing this, and I have a 3D printer a few feet away from me, right? And it's so easy to build prototypes these days.
Yeah, and so remember, it's a learning process, a learning environment. And so sometimes instead of saying, well, we have to order these prototypes and they're $30,000 and whatever, it's like, well, order three or four of them order one every 2 weeks as you learn more and change things. It really just depends on, you know, what you're doing, what you're trying to learn, the lead time on the components and systems and things like that. So it's all, our framework uses is completely built around economics and understanding, is this a good economic decision?
Okay, very good. Do you have another example that highlights aspects of a company bringing lean in?
Well, another recent one I think is really neat because they presented this at a conference. It was another, just happened to be a medical device company. They had a project, they're sort of a startup, got bought by a big company, and they had about 14 months left to finish their product, get it, you know, into working order. And the parent company said, do whatever you can, get this done by this trade show that's in 7 months. And so in the 7 month period, they were hiring new people, developing a new to the company product, and they got to the trade show in 7 months, even though all their plans said it was going to take 14. And they netted, I think, you know, 150 pre-orders at the trade show. And they wrote a case study for us where they said they netted $15 million in additional profit by being basically a year early to their market.
Okay, so hard to ignore that for sure.
Yep.
Got to market a year early, beat competition, and $15 million improvement. So with that reduction from 14 months to 7 months, what's really enabling that? Is it this elimination of, you know, we're not doing things in our phases and are waiting for gate meetings and doing things in batches? What are the real enablers that allow that reduction in schedule?
I'd say understanding the economics. And so they were ordering, you know, developing systems in parallel, and you have to kind of debatch your process. They're developing and testing, you know, components and subsystems in parallel. They have a great example in their study is the component cost, their cost of goods, was actually higher than their target. But that was, for an example, instead of building everything on one circuit board, they knew the functionality of about 3/4 of the functionality of the board. It was this new functionality they didn't know. So rather than building one board and prototyping linearly with those, they put the new architecture on a separate board, had to add a connector, which added cost and performance impacts, as well as it made the case bigger and things like that. But it allowed them to iterate so much faster. And then when they did go to market, their initial products had an extra test connector in them that they didn't take time to remove, but they could and did do that later. So they kind of gave margin on COGS and other targets, but they gained a lot of margin on schedule, you know, which allowed that big win.
Yeah, time to market. Okay, so they were able to decouple some things that they used to think about as related and really manage risk in a better way and let them focus where they needed to learn.
Yeah, managing risk and learning are the same thing.
True.
You reduce risk by learning. And so they set up their system so they could learn in their high-risk areas as fast as possible, because that was more important than, you know, than having a low-cost product.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out to me so much still is we're reducing time to market by at least half in these examples, mm-hmm. and also reducing budget. And I know there's many organizations that are spending more money to try to increase, you know, to still shorten that time to market, but they're trying to get the product out faster. have the benefits of being in the market, and they're spending more money getting that done, right?
Yep.
And your examples are what every executive, I'm sure, dreams of, which is we can get to market in less time and for less dollars.
Yep.
And in the process, improve our culture, which is pretty appealing.
Yep. Like you said, win, win, win.
So clearly not every organization is doing lean product development. Where do organizations struggle when they bring in a process like this?
Oh, I think a few areas, but I'd say the most common one is the first thing they try, if it doesn't work, next time they say, well, okay, let's do lean again, or let's do this again, there's more pushback and more resistance. And they say, well, that didn't work last time. So doing the wrong thing the first time makes it harder to try the second time. And either because of that or related to that, people say, well, lean is a journey, you know, keep trying. You'll wander around long enough and eventually you'll get there. I say that's a bad perspective to have. Lean, if you do it right, you should get an immediate impact right away. And if you do, it does change the culture. People have told us, well, we got to change our culture first. I'm like, culture is not something you change. Culture is a result of what you do. If you start getting wins like this, your culture will change. And I agree, lean is a journey to the extent that there's always more you can do, but it's not a journey that you have to take and go a long ways before you get a result or a benefit.
Okay. So yeah, there's always resistance to just doing something new for sure. That's the way we're all wired. And there's a lot to learn. And so you have to overcome those hurdles. You said that why organizations don't, a place where they struggle is that they bring it in, try it, and it doesn't work the way they expected.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on then with that initial brush with lean that, you know, it didn't work the way they expected?
I guess like the cause of that could be as many answers as attempts that it's failed, I guess. It could be personalities trying the wrong thing, the right solution to the wrong product, or the right solution to the wrong time, things like that. There's definitely a sequence or an order of events that I think that you should implement lean, you know, a pattern you should follow.
Okay. I'm curious, when companies engage your group, Acura, to help, are you typically helping companies that say, we're wanting to improve our time to market, we recognize lean can help us get there, come help us figure this out? Or are you seeing more companies who tried something themselves and now they want someone to help them fix because it didn't work?
You know, I think now it shifted. Before, it was the frustrated early adopters that had tried things. And now companies say, hey, you know, we know this works, let's just do it. And I think I've seen a definite shift in that recently. People that had said, okay, we've heard enough success stories out there, we want to implement lean, let's go.
So I know I'm getting excited about this idea of reducing the cycle time. And I'm sure you listening also really interested in this. David, for people that want to find out more information about what lean product development really is and start getting their hands around this some, do you have resources that you could point us to?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's a resource page on our website with some links to, you know, links and sites we like. I think if you want to read one book, my opinion, the seminal book or thought leader on this topic is Don Reinertsen. He's written 3 very successful best-selling books on the topic. His second one was called Managing the Design Factory, and that was our favorite one. It was written, he'd never used the word lean in the book because no one was calling it that then. His third one is Product Development Flow. It's a second generation lean. That is a really good book, but it's very advanced. We read his pre-production copy and reviewed it and were thrilled with it, but we've noticed in people that read it, they get kind of bogged down. I don't want people to think that you have to do everything in that book or understand it to just get started. So Managing the Design Factory is still the one I say read that first.
Okay. And is that also listed on that resource page on your website?
Yeah, I think so. If it's not, I'll check and make sure
okay.
It is.
And what's that? The URL of the website?
Ours is playbookhq.co.
Okay. And there's a resource tab on there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it was playbookhq.co?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And as I always like to do with my guests, I love innovation quotes, and I would love if you would share an innovation quote that has meaning to you and tell us why you chose that one.
Oh, an innovation quote. You know, I don't know if I have one. Yeah, I guess the one quote I've used like a lot, I used to have it written on a sticky note in my desk, said, and I don't know where this came from, I never had the source, but it said, if you do what everyone else does, you will get what everyone else has. And I think that applies to this topic because we see so many customers out there doing what they've always done, following the status quo, doing what their competition's doing, and they're in the middle of the pack. And you see these companies that separate themselves and come out with these amazing new products. Well, guess what? They did something different. And I guess that quote kind of goes back to the, you know, definition of insanity. If you do the same thing and expect different results, don't be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. So very good quote. Thanks for sharing that with us. If you do what everyone else does, you will get what everyone else has, which also is the heart of innovation, right? Where you have to do new things to get new results.
Yep.
Very good. David, I really appreciate you sharing that information on lean product development and your experience with that. It's a really exciting topic for us to know more about. To wrap up, what makes this interview a win for you, and how do we find out more about the services you provide?
Oh, okay. So the first part of the question, I guess what would be a win for me is if I help the audience understand kind of what lean is. It's an opportunity like we've never seen before to focus on value to the customer. It impacts our revenue dramatically. Lean has a lot of definitions. Don't get hung up on that, but it is about focusing on value to the customer and learning fast and eliminating waste and things like that. And also, don't be afraid to start, but do demand that you or do expect to get immediate results, because that will make the rest of your journey a lot more enjoyable, and it'll help everyone else in the company, you know, want to join and follow you down this path.
Very good. And to get in touch with you or find out more about services, how do we do that?
Oh, I guess the best place is our website. We mentioned that already, playbookhq.co, or call directly or email me if you, I don't know if you put a link on this recording or my phone number or email. I'd be glad to, I love this topic and would be glad to talk to you or anybody at any time.
Great. Yeah, I will put in the show notes for this episode the direct information to the link for your website as well as your email. That'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Great. David, thanks for being available for people that want to know more about this. And thanks so much for talking today about your experience with lean product development.
Yeah, and thank you, Chad, for calling me and giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training Your Customers Will Love You For. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.